Hello and welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. And we hold those truths to be self-evident, but that may be about as far as we can go in this segment with the truth. So-called fake news is, according to our next guest, a nasty weed that is difficult to kill. A fake news story by any other name would smell just as call it propaganda or disinformation. Fake news is a false representation of reality, with lies usually cocooned in a kernel of truth. And that kernel of truth is the Trojan horse that allows human nature to take over, the confirmation bias that validates our pre-existing perception of reality. Covering recent fake news has finally led the mainstream media to own up to what it's seeing, even if it has been somewhat complicit in its propagation of propaganda. PolitiFact writer Joshua Gillen and his peers have been literally double-timing it, keeping up with demands from other media outlets who are asking for verification of facts. Here's our chat.
Title. Okay, well, my name is Joshua Gillen. I'm a staff writer with PolitiFact.
Joshua Gillen, we are happy to have you. We also noticed that PolitiFact has been around for about 133 years. You have about 314 full-time employees, right? I mean, that's what I'm – am I right on that?
Right. Well, you know, actually, we have been around since just 2007. It may feel like that long, a century or more. And actually, the organization had gotten the Pulitzer Prize for covering the 2008 campaign. That was the public service award there. As far as employees are concerned, you know, there's really only about 9 or 10 people.
Ah, oh, I'm sorry. I guess I got my facts wrong there in my pre-prep. I was doing some Googling around and stuff.
We're going to have to downrate you for that one. Yeah, okay. Sorry about that.
I figured that's a pants on fire rating from PolitiFact already, right off the bat. Josh, I was reading a recent story of yours, fact-checking fake news reveals how hard it is to kill pervasive, nasty weed online. That's the headline that you guys are running at PolitiFact.com. How did we get into these waters? And tell us about how the scope of PolitiFact's work may have changed over the, say, 12 or 18 months.
PolitiFact started as something that was really concerned primarily with things that politicians had said during either campaigns or, you know, floor debates or during the normal discourse of their jobs. When you elect someone after the campaign promises are over and they're just talking about business as usual, that's really what we had been looking at checking all the time. And I don't know if you noticed, Jason, you know, this last campaign, there was quite a bit of obviously false information.
Mm-hmm.
And I say obviously because, you know, I mean, let's be honest. There's nothing new about politicians lying to their constituents, right?
Yes.
But when it comes to this last campaign, I mean, really what we have ended up with is an administration that says things that are just outright false, provably incorrect. Right. And so we noticed that during the campaign, there was this proliferation. What my job is now to look at this so-called fake news. And that is, you know, all these stories that people purposely create in order to misinform. And sometimes it's, you know, really, I don't know if I want to use the word innocuous, but sometimes it's just to get advertising clicks.
Right.
But other times, you know, well, what we saw was it was really concerted effort to misinform people and color their opinions in a way that has, you know, really affected civil discourse.
Definitely during the political season, I can see a peak in interest in this. But I did notice one of the examples in your story is fake news around Bill Murray being in a small town. Let's talk about that for a second, because I'd like to show the spectrum of fake news. It's not all about ghost massacres or something in Bowling Green. It can be something more hyper local focused, to use an old journalism term, right?
And the story you're talking about was that Bill Murray had apparently been on some radio interview, and I actually believe it was a radio interview in California or Arizona, or, you know, the story changed depending on where it was set. And so, you know, allegedly Bill Murray was telling the story about how his car had broken down, either it overheated or it just stopped working or he got a flat tire, and then the locals of some community had actually stopped and helped him, taken him to a garage. Then he went, he got a burger with them at a restaurant. The name of the restaurant would change from place to place. And so, you know, there really was this proliferation of these stories that were completely made up. Mm-hmm. It just was capitalizing on the name of the town that they wanted to use and the celebrity involved to make readers just click on it. That's all they wanted. That's all they wanted to do is for people to come to that site and click on it. Mm-hmm. So,
right. And right there, you've nailed it for me. They prey upon human nature, which is we tend to click on things that affirm our opinion. And so if we have a fun opinion about Bill Murray that this could be happening, well, that's cool. If we have a fun opinion about where we live and this happened and Bill Murray was here and why didn't I hear about it before, now we click on it. That escalates to fake news on a capital F level, if you know.
Like, yeah, right.
Is that what you're finding, what's happening? Is like why this is such a nebulous thing that you're trying to quash? It's you're really fighting human nature in a way.
That first category of stories, I mean, I was fooled. Jason, you know I'm from Nebraska originally, and you know I had found 1 month ago that said the next Star Wars movie was going to be filmed near Grand Island, Nebraska, right? And I used to live there, and so I clicked on it, and this is really where I came to that. So, you know, it gets everywhere. Now, the idea that there's this difference between, say, a story in your Facebook feed about celebrity dying, okay, we've seen those hoaxes for quite some time, you know, and anybody who wondered about what happened to Jeff Goldblum has seen that. Then there's the next level that goes up to that. He's not dead, by the way.
No,
the next level after that is that, you know, we see these stories that kind of prey upon fears, people's fears, things that they think might be happening, or really what we see is confirmation that the world is falling apart. I actually just finished a story that said, and this one has been around for several years, that someone had been injecting HIV-infected blood in bananas, and some children in Oklahoma had eaten these bananas and were infected with HIV. And, you know, of course, besides the obvious issue that it never happened,
right,
you have to look further into the facts of that, in that, you know, HIV could not exist outside the human body. Right.
Right.
And
yeah.
So the reactionary way people look at this is to go, oh, my God, it's terrible. Did you see this? And this story actually originated from somebody who had found some bananas that had a fungal infection that turned the, you know, put red streaks in the banana. And this is how it happened.
Wow.
Never mind that the original poster had then found out from Del Monte that, you know, yes, this is a fungal infection. You know, this is not going to hurt you. We understand, you know, it had been explained.
We're journalists, and we have been for a long time, so we're skeptical by nature. Some journalists, and anybody really, can go from skepticism to cynicism. What are your caveat emptors when it comes to news consumption these days for just anybody who's clicking around on the web?
Well, there's a couple things. You know, the first is, it's that old adage, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. You know, you and I have been in the media a long time. There's that adage, if your mother tells you something, check it out, right?
That's right.
And in this case, you can go back, and the very first thing you can try to do is see if anybody else has reported it. If you see something on a website that you don't know if it's accurate or not, go and look for it. And there is a lot of backlash for these traditional media outlets. Reporters who work for them don't just make things up.
Right.
As much as, you know, a portion of the population might want to believe, you know as well as I do, Jason, that the people who work at traditional media outlets want to do the best job that they can. And finally, I would tell people, don't just share what you see automatically. And that's really how these things proliferate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, PolitiFact has really dedicated itself to checking it out. And we provide our sources. We always encourage our readers to go through and check out our source list that is on the side of every story. We show our work.
I agree. And I'm going to double down a little bit. If you care about news, news consumption, news generation, I encourage you to find somebody who does not share your point of view that is a reputable news source and look at that as well. I have a pretty robust Facebook feed because of what I do for a living, but I make sure that I check, let's say, other side of the aisle from what may have shown up in my feed. And that goes both ways. You know, if I see something in the Journal, I might go over and check something at WAPO. If I see something in the New York Times, I might go check out something at the Washington Times.
That is a very good point, because what we see with a lot of what readers send to us as fake news claims are really, and just a regular fact check, are really the same event, just told with a different spin on it. And as is the case on every side of an argument, there's always a kind of a point of view with that and a way of looking at it that may misrepresent things slightly or may not include the full broader picture of something, and that would change someone's opinion of what actually happened.
Well, Josh, you and PolitiFact are sailing in some dangerous waters because the truth is endangered these days, or at least delivery of the truth.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
That was Joshua Gillen, staff writer at PolitiFact.com. We have links to his work and others fighting fake news at Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. And that's going to do it for this week's show. The four segments together make up our broadcast version of Techonomics. The four separate segments are available as podcasts if you're more of a snacker than a four-course meal type. Those podcasts live on KGORadio.com/Techonomics, as well as on iTunes and Stitcher. Please pull one down and pass it around if you like it. Each week, we talk with thought leaders in several spaces, all of which touch our technology or our economy in some way. We post those segments and related links at Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. We also post a playlist of the music we choose for each week's show on that Facebook page, /Techonomics Radio. Or you can follow us at KGO Radio on Twitter. I am at KGO Jason. For producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, my name is Jason Middleton. This has been Techonomics. We hope you enjoyed the listen and have great weeks, everybody.